We do need to know the volatility. A nice way to measure the volatility is, again, to look at the historical time series. Standard statistic for estimating the population volatility is to measure this sample volatility. My sample estimates always have an under bar and are in green, and the population numbers are always in red, and they're not an under bar. There's two nice things here. First of all, you don't have to wait 25 years. You can get a much better estimate in a shorter period of time. And the second thing is, and this is the best point, if you don't like that estimate, you can make it better by sampling more frequently. At some point, you run into the other end of the spectrum. I think of it like Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. If you really start trying to measure it exactly, you kind of mess up on something else. Well, in this case, if you shrink your observation interval to, say, every transaction, now you have a bid-ask balance. There's a fuzziness that's entering into that. An asset price, even if it essentially isn't changing, will tend to fluctuate between the bid and the ask prices and appear to have volatility when sort of the true value that you're really interested in doesn't. Even you look at every day, you have to worry a little bit about this. Say the typical movement in a stock over a day is a half a point. The bid-ask spread is a quarter. Someday you'll see 3/8 and someday 5/8. And if nothing happens, you'll see the price bounce between 3/8 and 5/8. And you could calculate a pretty good size volatility when in fact there is none. So you really want to pick an interval where the typical movement over the interval is large relative to the bid and the ask. So if you do weekly prices for stocks, that's probably good enough. But there's a tendency to want to have more frequent observations because you can improve this estimate. You can reduce the variance of the estimate by having more observations. There's a tendency to want to measure things daily. And you can do that, but then you need to be a little more sophisticated, ideally, and you want to filter out the bid-ask spread. You realize that the variance you're estimating over a day is really too large because of the bid-ask bounce. And so you need a little model, which we don't go into here, for pulling out that bid-ask bounce from the data. Of course, if you actually had a really good data, you might know whether it was a bid price or an ask price that it closed at the end of the day, and you could make an exact correction. You could move it, say, to the midpoint of the bid and ask. So if you knew if it was at the bid, and the price ended up at, say, 50 3/8, and the bid-ask spread was 3/8 5/8, you'd move it to 50 1/4. If you saw the price at 50 5/8 at the end of the day, and you knew that was the ask price, you might move it to 50 1/2. That would be a nice way to correct for that. Yes?
I'm just confused now.
The closing transaction will probably have taken place at the bid or the ask. That's all. That's what I'm trying to say. That's okay. Because I know that if you're not accustomed to this kind of thing, and someone starts throwing around bids and asks, your eyes start glazing over easily. Suppose your bid was 50 3/8 and your ask was 50 5/8. Well, you might say that what you'd really like to do is be recording the price at 50 1/2. That's probably a better idea of what the price is really. Very often, you're going to see the last transaction either here or here. If it was a member of the public and I was coming in the market to sell, and the other side of the transaction was the specialist or a floor trader, probably I'm going to have to sell at 50 3/8, whereas I'm going to have to buy at this higher price. If I knew the quote at the time, and then I saw the last transaction at 15, well, actually, if I knew the quote, you might say, forget it, forget the transaction, just put the price in the middle. And quotes are actually not too hard to get. One way to correct for this is to use quotes and pick the midpoint. There are techniques that have been developed in the academic literature, which I'm not going to talk about, which allow you to look at time series of trades and figure out what the bid-ask spread is from those trades and make an adjustment.